right, it's 2 o'clock. We'll call the meeting to order. If everybody could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Lynn, if you could do the roll call.
Dr. Howard.
Present.
Mr. Lloyd.
Here.
Mr. Dye.
Present.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Here.
Mr. Lubai.
Here.
And Mr. Freckleton is absent.
Great. And any requests for public participation?
No requests.
Great. With that, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Does anybody want to pull an item for discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda passes. Information only. You've got the normal information on agreements and surplus donations in your package. And with that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Lavasso for the president's update. Tom?
Great. Thank you. And been a busy and productive month since we last met. We hosted a Community Connect meet out of New Smyrna Beach campus, Edgewater campus, with business and industry and also K-12 representation. That was productive. I just rolled off of being president of the Florida College System Student Activities Association. We hosted that here and was in that role for 2 years and got a lot of good things done there for the state system there. We also were the host site for the Hungarian Summit. I thought that was well attended, and feedback has been, very positive on that. And then Dr. Howard and I went down to the Commissioners of Education Summit, which had Florida College presidents and their board chairs, as well as university college presidents and their chairs. So we got to meet and have, good discussion, from a state perspective on where we're heading as a state in higher education and how we can collaborate between, colleges and universities and K-12 and the colleges. So I thought it was a good meeting. and then we are, we're continuing on the conversation with Embry Riddle University on the airframe and power plant as we did get the partial funding to begin the development of a facility to have a certificate and associate of science degree in AMP. So that's moving along. Because it's the season, we had a hurricane preparedness tabletop exercise, which I thought was productive with Volusia County Emergency Management. And they came here and had some good information to share with us and some good what-if exercises that we went through in preparation. And I'm going to share, maybe.
Audio issues.
So we just created a new, Sizzler, I guess they call it, marketing piece that we will use in a variety of different ways. It could be fillers in between our games that we broadcast, as well as just on its own, intros to other types of events and things that we might have at the college.
Did you generate it or did AI?
We're going to vote.
I can't tell. And positive image marketing piece for us. So with that concludes my report. Marty? Oh, I'm sorry. I do have, at least one of us is reading the agenda. yes, I do have, I do have a proposal for you.
I'm sorry. Multiple things going on here.
This is really not Lynn, it's AI. It's not functioning to Lynn standards.
All right. Almost there.
Okay. Well, I'm very pleased to present to the board a proposal to offer raises for our faculty and staff. I think considering, a year where we don't have any additional operational dollars, I think we did a really good job at managing and preparing to be able to do this again this year. And enrollment is up to help support this initiative. So, my pleasure to present this proposal to you all for faculty and staff. Job well done. And with that, I would...
Okay, the motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Great.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And my second item, my third item is the approval of our annual salary plan, which you have in your packet and we have reviewed.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
That concludes my report.
Ready?
Just want to make sure you were on your toes. Again.
Yes.
Here we go.
Okay. Good afternoon. Got a full agenda here in finance, and like we do each June, so I'm going to kind of jump right in with our May financial report. We have just 1 month to go as of this, so just under 92% through the fiscal year. And we'll take a look at the progress here on our revenue budget to actual. As you can see, we've now collected nearly $28 million, or 98% of our student tuition and fee revenue. Collected $59.5 million, or 92% of our state revenues, $5.8 million, or 95% of our other revenue sources, and the full 100%, or $2.4 million of our board-approved transfers. So in total, through May 31st, we've now collected $95.7 million of our $101.9 million budget, which is 94% of that budget. So in good shape from a revenue collection standpoint with just 1 month remaining. Flipping over to the expenditure side, this is also a budget versus actual comparison. We've now expended $61.4 million of our personnel budget. That's 82%. We've obligated $18.8 million, or 80% of our current expense budget. Of that amount, $16.6 million is of actual expenditures, and we still have $2.1 million encumbered and tied to open purchase orders. We've obligated $2.5 million of our capital outlay budget. That's 73%. Of that $2.5 million, $1.6 million is expended through May 31st, and the remaining $862,000 is still encumbered at this time. So in total, we've obligated $82.7 million, or 81% of our overall operational budget. And if you peel back the encumbrances, it leaves us with $79.7 million expended to date, or 78% of that budget. So again, looking good, a little over on the revenue side and a little under on the expenditure side makes for a good year, right? So we're wrapping up, looking like we're going to end in good shape. And you'll see later on when I go over my proposed rollover fund for Fund 1 operating in the budget presentation that we should have some funds to roll over. Okay, taking a look at the fund balance carry forward, this kind of goes hand in hand with what I'm talking about. We start the year with $18.2 million. Of that is our 5% state required reserve, $5.5 million. Our board designated piece is the $1.6 million roughly. And then our unallocated reserves is $10.2 million roughly. And we had a carryover for encumbrances and designations of $814,000. So our projected fund balance as of the date of this report, May 31st, would be the $24.8 million, or roughly 21.8%. Moving forward to compare the years, you know, the current year we're wrapping up versus last year at the same time, we've collected 94% of our overall revenue budget. And at the same time last year, we collected 94% of that particular revenue budget. So very consistent, as we see throughout the year, from a revenue collection standpoint. Okay, this slide we always show. It shows the three-year analysis of tuition and fees. But you know, a good year. We budgeted, if you recall, 4% up this year in student tuition and fees. We might come in just a little shy of that. We're closing in on $28 million as of the end of May. We budgeted about $28.5 million. So, you know, we'll collect a little bit more in June and get pretty close to that, you know, maybe around 3.5% versus the 4%. So, again, pretty good year from an enrollment standpoint. Okay. Taking a look at our budget to actual for our expenditures. This is a comparison of this year versus last year. Through May, we expended 82% of our personnel budget. At the same time last year, we expended 83% of that budget. We've obligated 80% of our current expense budget versus 85% at the same point last year. And we've obligated 73% of our capital outlay budget versus 76% at the same juncture last year. So also becoming very consistent from an expenditure standpoint, you know, at the capital outlay, I think in my prior report was lagging a bit. That's picked up a little bit as folks, you know, got some of those purchase orders, so started getting invoices in, and we started to close out some of those. So, looking like it's going to even out here at the end. Okay, shifting over to our Fund 7 Capital Projects Fund. This is the slide that I always show of our major funding sources in Fund 7. So all the activity through May 31st, expenditures, revenues, and resulting fund balance. This next slide shows it in a nutshell, the summary. We started the year with roughly $62.4 million. Revenue received to date, about $9.4 million. We've obligated another $37.8 million roughly. Of that, $30.2 million has been expended, and another $7.5 million encumbered. So the net fund balance per this report is just over 34 million, as you can see. Of that amount, 16.3 million is committed to other projects, and we have about 17.7 million uncommitted to date and available for new projects. Okay, here's a recap of our current active major projects, any that exceed 250,000. No change from the prior report other than the one at the bottom we've added, which is the high voltage upgrade project, phase two. That has gotten, you know, we're just getting it off the ground with a projected completion date of December 2026. So all inclusive, we currently now have 14 major projects started and at an estimated cost of $45.8 million. So big number for pretty large projects all in all. Several you'll see with the June completion dates. I think I spoke about this last time a little bit. Deltona, you know, certainly that building is complete other than some punch list type items, but it takes a little while to roll off the books just because of final invoices and processing on the accounting side. So those with the June dates will we expect to complete in June, similar with the phase one of the roof replacement on this building. That work has been done, and we've moved on to phase two. So certainly we'll have some more projects roll off and become part of this list, which here are the two from the DeLand campus that did start and finish in this fiscal year at the cost of $852,000. And that sums up, that's it for the financial report, unless there's any questions or comments on the May report.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, my next item is an informational item. All payments greater than $50,000 in the month of May. And again, nothing unusual here. Just everything that exceeded that particular threshold is here for the board's information. Okay, my next item is uncollectible accounts receivable. You might recall each year in June, I bring this to the board for consideration of those debts that are now 3 years old. And per our policy and procedures, we look at anything 3 years old that we deem uncollectible and ask the board to write off those particular balances. I'm almost shocked and thrilled at the same time to report this is the lowest balance I've seen in my history of being here, my 16 years, and probably the history of the college, only $11,608.84 of a year that we had revenue of over $31 million of student tuition and fee revenue. The reason being the amount is so low, I wish we could take other credit for it, but this was the year of the pandemic, if you'll recall. We got the emergency HERF funds, and that allowed us to pay off student debt, and we used a good chunk of those dollars to pay those student debts off, so we're seeing some of that embedded in these numbers here. So we expect the receivables, uncollectibles to increase here over time, but for now, we'll celebrate the $11,000. And we ask that the board approve the write-off of the uncollectible receivable of $11,608.84.
So moved.
Second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. Yay. Next item is our, an item that comes up every June, is our recertification agreements use of space and personnel with our two direct support organizations, being the Daytona State College Foundation and Daytona State College Housing Corporation. By statute, we must bring this forward and have approval on both sides at the DSO level and the Board of Trustee level to authorize the college to use those personnel at those organizations, use of office space for those purposes. And that's what we have before you here. I will tell you that we brought the foundation piece to the May board meeting, and the foundation board did approve their part. This morning it went to the Housing Board Corporation, and they approved the Housing Board piece for their recertification. And now I'm bringing them both before you for the Board of Trustees for the recommendation to approve the recertification, use of office space and personnel for the foundation and Housing Corporation.
Motion. So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. And I will say, in your packet, you had all the documentation that made up of the personnel, the office space. We have it all outlined, and how we came up with our calculations is done well each year and reviewed each year for any changes. So we do have the support there. Okay, our next item is the deferred maintenance and personnel funding proposal. This is an item we also bring typically in the month of June. We ask the board to set aside funding in Fund 7, some of our reserves, to deal with deferred maintenance, both on the renovation and remodel side, as well as the repairs and maintenance side. And then there's a piece set aside for our facilities planning staff who are charged to Fund 7, their salaries and benefits. We are recommended that the board authorize the college to allocate $4,511,553 as delineated for the upcoming budget year from Fund 7 board designated reserves.
A motion? So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next item up is our budget transfer requests. This kind of goes hand in hand with what we'll see in the budget presentation, and I spoke about earlier as far as our projected rollover funds. To replenish, you all know that the Fund 7, some of our major projects, we asked for the state funding, and certainly recently we've had some projects come in significantly over budget where we've had to kick in local funds, right? College dollars, Fund 7. So we're seeing that more and more, which you know, again, kind of propels the need of doing things like this, right? Fund 1 transfers to Fund 7. Fund 3 is another set of rules where we use those dollars on marketing, hospitality, different things that we can't do with state money all the time. So we also like to replenish those coffers from time to time. This is a good time to do it when we are closing out one fiscal year, coming up with what we project might roll over and that we have available to do some of these initiatives. So at this point, you know, it's still rough estimates, and we just asked for up to amounts similar to the last couple of years. So what I'm proposing here is that the board approve the transfer of funds up to $5 million from Fund 1 to Fund 7 and up to $2 million from Fund 1 to Fund 3 for this current year. It would be a June transfer that we do in 23-24, not next year.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. And I'll be glad to report back what those actual transfers are once we shore up the numbers and come back in the new fiscal year. All right. Last but certainly not least is the Daytona State College proposed budget for fiscal year 2024-25. This is the same presentation you have in your packets, we'll go through some of it a little quicker than other parts. But you know, the first part is really just meant to lay out our design, our planning, and principles for how we develop our budget. It's part of our strategic planning process. All departments are included. It's very fair, equitable, transparent process. I think the process went very well again this year. We start this in the month of March. You know, March 1st kind of kicks it off, and we, you know, the process doesn't stop until today, really, when we get it before the board and get it approved, and then we can send it up to the state. So, very collective effort, from the overall team, all departments, faculty, staff, everybody. You know, there's a lot of input that goes into this, and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears behind the scenes that help pull this together. But so while I'm on that, you know, I would like to just give a quick, you know, thank you to all college budget managers, departments. You know, there's too many to name, but they all have input. They all are, you know, putting the requests in the month of March into our budget module. You know, our senior leadership team, which, you know, helps, you know, comb through the data and holds their areas responsible, gives good leadership. Dr. Lovasso, certainly, as the leader of the pack. And then, of course, my budget and accounting staff, I couldn't do without them. They do, you know, they're hitting it hard from start to finish. There's, you know, just a load of data to pull, come over. I'm asking for things, you know, just constantly throughout the process. So Jim Zlobowski's here, our budget director in the back there. Tina Myers, our controller, is back here today. Those that aren't here are hopeful to hear that the budget is approved, and we'll be at their desk starting to get ready to load those budgets into our ERP system. So that goes on down. Lisa Sagunrose, our assistant controller. Marianne Olliegoods, our Fund 2 director, who really helps put together the Fund 2 budget. I don't want to leave anybody out. Roscoe Larson, he's over our funds 3 through 6. And Tony Yee also is our Fund 7 accountant, who helps pull Fund 7 together. So big shout out to that group. Couldn't do it without you. And while I'm on the thankful path, I, of course, want to, you know, put out there a big thanks to our legislators who we got no new funding, but we did do, you'll see, we did quite well on some of our special projects. And so thank you to them, Governor DeSantis, of course, and the state, the overall state Department of Ed. All right. So here's just a description of our funds. As you know, we have funds 1 through 9. This is just a brief overview of each of those. We're required by statute to bring our Fund 1 and Fund 7 budgets to this board for approval and to the state. So we concentrate on them in the presentation and in the process. But in your budget, in your packets, you have budget exhibits, revenues, and expenditures for each of the funds. So we share every fund budget with you. We just concentrate on the two that are required. Okay. Our budget priorities, again, very similar to years past. We look to present a balanced budget each year, and we're doing that again this coming year. Ensure fiscal sustainability for all programs. Continue to facilitate cost-saving measures. Just everything that keeps us very proactive and able to do some of the things, as Dr. Labasa just brought with the salary increase proposal. It's fabulous that we can do that with no new operational dollars. And a big part of that is the budget maintenance and control over the course of the year. We're not spending every dime. So a big testament to that, the department's being willing to, not scurry and spend every penny. And when we come down to closing the year out, that we're okay with, closing purchase orders, things that end up helping us and going back into our budget, into our coffers in terms of reserves. So we've really been able to do some nice things. That along with enrollment picking up has helped, of course. So just happy to present a good solid budget for 24-25. Bringing your attention down to the bottom here are the portions that we typically ask to take out of our reserves, our Fund 1 reserves. It becomes part of our spending plan that we'll bring to the board in September. Later you'll see dollars attached to each of these items, but for now it's we kind of took care of the first one. It comes right out of Fund 7, so that's not really a Fund 1 per se, other than we do transfer funds from Fund 1 to 7 that eventually could be used to fund this. But the equipment refresh plan, TV station direct support, and the grant matching funds are certainly initiatives that we do and fund each year out of our fund balance reserved from Fund 1, and we'll continue to do that. Okay, getting into the year ahead here, 24-25, the big story, I would say, no increase in student tuition and associated fees for the 14th year running now. So, again, it's pretty remarkable that we're able to do the things we can do, on no new tuition and fee dollars. But again, some of the other areas, state funding has improved the last couple of years, enrollment. Starting to come back has really helped us balance things and make everything work. The second item there, speaking of enrollment, we are projecting a 3%. We budgeted for a 3% increase for this coming year. As I said, we did 4% this past year. Won't quite make it, but certainly will be over 3%. We think 3% is a solid target for next year and very obtainable. Third item is kind of the special projects I alluded to. We didn't get reoccurring dollars necessarily, but this was a big win for the college, I think, for these particular special projects. $2.6 million in total from our Fund 1 program funds, auto service tech, firefighting breathing apparatus equipment, and then the EMS training equipment to the tune of $1.5 million. So, again, good projects, big dollars, and we're thrilled to be funded for those. The next bullet shows the two items I think Dr. Lasbasso talked about earlier, DeLand Emergency Services Training Center. We received about half the funding there, $3.3 million, and then the airframe and power plant project, which we funded $6.1 million. You'll see later in Alan's presentation that our new CIP is now reflective of a new estimate for that particular project. So we'll have a bigger ask. It won't be just $6.1 million again. It's a bit larger now. And then at the bottom here is our student incentive funds. We get two components each year that make up the student incentive funding. So the 398 and 408 collectively, that's about $50,000 more than we got in that particular funding this past year. So a little better in student incentive funds. Okay, the student fee updates. The three at the top are increases, but these are strictly student user fees and pass-through type fees where we in finance each year take a look and review the fees for the costs that make up the fee. So we come up with the current costs, and then we determine what the fee amount needs to be to cover those costs. So there's no extra there. It's a strict dollar for dollar. Whatever the cost of services are, get passed along to the student. So the number one is the access fee going from $1.28 per credit hour to $1.50. Graduation fee, going from 25 to 30 for degree programs and 15 to 20 for certificates. And then our other web-enhanced lab fee going from 24 to 25. And that's we also can refer to that internally as our hybrid fee. That's for courses that are taught both online and in person. The modality is mixed. The group of fees below this are staying the exact same as the current year, so no change in that group, distance learning, and all the way down to the assessment. So really just the three up top, or did we have changes? This is our student fee rates. So here's the tuition and those fees tied to tuition. And as I mentioned, this slide hasn't changed in some time now because we're identical to what we've been for years. So, you know, on the left there, 79.22 is the base in-state tuition rate for A&P and vocational, that group of disciplines. You tack on those fees, financial aid fee, tech fee, state student activity, and capital improvement, and you come up with the 102.38, which is our per credit hour charge for in-state tuition and fees for lower division. Moving over to upper division, our baccalaureate. You have we have $91.79 is the base per credit hour fee. Again, you tack on the related fees, and it's 120.32 per credit hour, no different from last year. And so that's the in-state, and below shows the out-of-state calculation per credit hour. Moving right along, this is our proposed fees. A little more than I showed earlier has a few extras in there, such as the lab fees, which we show on this slide as a range. Dr. Locklear will get into this a little bit later. There's ups and downs each year in our lab fees, just based on the cost of materials and supplies in our biology labs, math, English, you name it, in the classroom. So the range is the lowest to the highest here, and then some pass-through fees for transcripts and testing fees are shown here as well. Okay, so here's our student enrollment slide for the upcoming budget proposal. As you can see in the bottom right-hand corner there, just under $29 million is our projected budget for student tuition and fees this coming year. That includes the 3% increase on where we think we'll land this year from an actual standpoint. Includes out-of-state, in-state, and all the other fees, as you can see them listed, from graduation fee, lab fees, distance learning. So the all-in is where we're projecting $28,985,000 on tuition and fees. I alluded to this a little bit earlier. Here's the projection for where we might land this year as far as Fund 1 rollover funds. You can see from a revenue standpoint, we had budgeted true operational dollars, almost $99.5 million. We've now collected, or I'm projecting we'll collect $101.7 million. And on the expense side, you know, just below it, we've projecting $96.7 million. So that's how you come up with your rollover, right? We took a stopping point at June 9th and then projected the next few weeks out through June 30th. There's a lot that can happen through year-end closing that sways that number. The biggest thing being our pension expense, right? We have to, per GASB 68, we now have to record that large liability. That pendulum swings quite largely each year either way. Looks like this year it's going to hit us with a very large pension expense. And it's a product of how the investments in the market and the FRS state system are doing each year. So with all that said, that's factored into the projection, and we still feel like we're going to have nearly a $5 million rollover in Fund 1, which is quite solid, and I'm very pleased with. And that's what helps fund those transfers. When I say transfers from Fund 1 that you approved earlier, transfers from Fund 3, this is what makes it happen when we're able to have some rollover in Fund 1 to be able to do that and not take it out of any new dollars. All right, now taking a look at our state appropriations, you know, a comparison of the current year versus what we're getting next year. you know, at the top, it might look like we're getting more funding, and we are. But the big piece, of course, is the non-reoccurring special projects. So we're not getting any new operating funds. If you take the general operating revenue and the lottery and tally both of those up on both sides of the pie chart there, you're going to come to $60,952,010. And so that's no change, right? I got the same exact operating number. It's in the special projects where we went out a little bit more. You got $2.6 million versus $650,000 of those types of projects last year. And then, you know, a little bit of change in the others. The nursing pipeline funding, actually, we decreased a little bit there. And the student incentive funds are up a little bit, like I alluded to earlier, about $50,000 or so. But all in all, it's a $66,660,419 will be coming to us in the form of state appropriations and those mechanisms versus $64.8 this current year. The next slide in pie chart delineates the full scope of the Fund One budget, okay? Not just state appropriations, it's all revenue sources and the full scope of the budget. So we're looking at a $102,649,734 budget. The left, it's getting more and more busy, but that's every piece of the pie there, that the revenue sources that make up that $102 million. Of course, the biggest chunks being the state appropriations, lottery, and student tuition and fees, but we also have some a little bit of grant funding and other revenue sources, interest income, dual enrollment, and the like. On the right is our three major categories of expenditures. Personnel, of course, being the heavy hitter, $75.3 million roughly. That's about 73% of the makeup of the budget. Current expenses, $22.8 million, 22% of the budget. And then our capital outlay. That capital outlay number does include the $2.6 million of special projects that were allocated to us this year. And that's about 4.39% of the budget. I'll do a little pause there because that wraps up the Fund 1 side of things, more or less. Is there anything before I jump into Fund 7? Oh, okay. Well, moving right along then. Fund 7 is a little bit of a different animal, but no different than we've done in prior years. We estimate what our fund balance is going to be when we close out the year. That number is about $57.4 million, so that's our starting point. We then look at current new revenue sources that are going to come in next year. That's the capital improvement fees, one of those tied to tuition. So about 2.3 roughly of those fees that we project. Another $50,000 that we get each year through the capital outlay and debt service funds. And then the two major projects that we were partially funded for next year, emergency training center and the airframe power plant project. So total new revenue sources of about $11.8 million. Sliding down to the expenditures, we got about, we show it, you know, for budgetary purposes as an in and an out. So you'll see the same two projects down there and in expenditures, even though we may only do some partial planning next year out of those funds. So you have those two, and then you also have the facilities payroll, which I talked about earlier, $536,553. Total expenditures just under $10 million. And then the other financing uses, that's our debt service payment that we pay on the SunTrust loans that we are still paying on. Most of that payment comes from Fund 7, and a little piece comes from Fund 3 each year. Those do get paid off here soon. January of 26, I think, is when both come up, and it'll be nice to get $1 million plus back into our coffers when we do pay off both of those loans. So our total use of funds is 10.9, just under $11 million. And then if you follow me down a little further, is the proposed use of fund balance. You know, several years ago, the state wanted us to be very transparent with our Fund 7 budget, put every project that you think you might start, have started already, that's on your CIP. You know, they wanted to see the whole ball of wax. So we've done just that each year. So that starts it there, and then here's the laundry list of projects that we have prioritized as a college and have at different levels of start and completion. But we think those are The major group that we'll be tapping into for next year, we know that we won't get through them all. I know 29 million, it's a big number, but we'll penetrate that number, but certainly won't expend the full 29 million in one given year. This particular presentation shows the same exact budget and numbers, just in a different format. It's by funding source. So you got our local funds. That's essentially our Fund 7 board designated funds and capital improvement fees, bond and other state funds, capital outlay and debt service, and PICO. So again, same number, same budget, and this will show all the same projects as presented, but where they're coming out of, what funding source that they've already been allocated to. And that concludes Fund 7. My next couple of slides are important because they're proposed budget transfers between one fund and another fund. As you know, we have to obtain board approval and state approval every time we transfer funds from Fund 1 to another fund, but we show all budget transfers. So this slide's a little busy, but number 8, the footnote down there is the one I talked about earlier about fund balance reserves from Fund 1 that we'll do as part of our spending plan. So it's shown that the equipment refresh, I said I'd attach dollars to it. Well, here it is, $650,000 for equipment refresh, grant matching funds $500,000, and TV station support $300,000. That gets you to the $1,450,000 that will become part of our spending plan. And we may very well add other things, but that at a minimum, those will be on the spending plan that we bring to you in September. And then a little cleaner and easier way to look at the transfers is this particular slide. So starting at the top was the one that I just spoke of, the grant matching funds, $500,000 proposed transfer from Fund 1 to Fund 2. TV station operational support, $300,000 from Fund 1 to Fund 2. Scholarships for athletics and other students, $750,000. We do that from our auxiliary funds to our Fund 5 scholarship fund. Marketing, hospitality, and tuition reimbursement, we actually also take that from auxiliary, and that goes into our Fund 1. Those can't use state dollars on those initiatives, so we use our auxiliary funds. And then the debt service, which I said we broke out into two different funding sources. Fund 3 pays a piece of it, and Fund 7 pays the majority. So we transfer each year those amounts to Fund 8, which is our debt service fund, which we pay the loan from that particular fund. So that does conclude my budget presentation. Be glad to field any questions, comments, or feedback. If not, we'll bring it back to the board memo here, which delineates the totals by Fund 1, and then the back shows, or I think the second page shows the Fund 7 amounts. And we would recommend that the board approve the annual operating and Fund 7 budget for fiscal year 24-25.
Any questions? I have a motion.
I'm pleased to move approval.
Second.
All right. Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Great. Thank you.
Great. Nice job.
Good job.
Good budget.
All right. Unfortunately, my agenda is longer than Marty's, so I'll try to be brief. We're going to try to close out some projects, as Marty alluded to earlier. The first one is the approval for the Hurricane Ian roof damage and replacement for the Werthar building, this building. Board of Trustees approved Garland Construction as a low bid back in June of 2023. We are looking for final payment of $112,526.95 to Garland. It is recommended that the board approve final payment and release retainage for the Daytona campus, Hurricane Ian roof damage replacement, Werthal Center, in the amount of $112,526.95 made to Garland.
So moved.
Second.
Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Oops. I think I went too far. All right.
Got that one
second right. One is same We're looking, same thing, Hurricane Ian damage to the News Journal Center. So in June 22nd, 2023 meeting, purchase order was issued and the project has been completed now for the replacement of these exhaust fans. We're looking for final payment to Vista Cooling in the amount of $105,933.66. It is recommended that the Board of Trustees approve final payment for Hurricane Ian damage News Journal Center exhaust fan replacement in the amount of $105,933.66.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Whoa.
I'm moving it for you.
Good.
You don't have to worry about it.
I'm touching the buttons and it's going too far.
I got you.
All right, next one, we're going to start spending money now. So some of the $45 million projects that Marty spoke about, the first one is a CM at Risk. This one is for GMP for the DeLand Campus Tactical Training Pavilion, PT course, and driving pad. This is an early release. The final GMP will come to the board in August. So we're looking for an early release for the steel buildings on the site. That PO, or purchase order, will go to Kalex Steel Buildings Corporation and will be provided as a direct purchase through CPPI contract. So we're doing this in order to get the building purchase going. The goal is to get this facility up and running by the end of the year, and this is our long lead time item. So we need to get this ordered as soon as possible. So it's recommended that the board ratify approval of the following pre-construction purchase order: Kalex Steel Buildings in the amount of $378,567 for prefabricated steel buildings for the DeLand Tactical Training Pavilion.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
All right. Another CM at Risk. This is a GMP. This one is going to Ajax Corporation. Ajax was selected as the top-ranking firm for CM at Risk in the Deltona Campus Welding Project. This is the facility that nursing is moving out of in Deltona, and we're going to be constructing a welding lab in that facility. The pre-construction services in the amount of $22,943 were already approved. We're looking for approval to approve the GMP for the entire construction project. The entire project comes in at $2,505,849. Today's approval, we're looking for GMP not to exceed $1,849,799 for the Deltona Campus Welding Lab Project. This is to be funded from Fund 7. Looking for approval.
Motion. So moved.
Any questions or discussion? I'll take that as a second.
Yeah.
Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Very good. Second one is a continuation of a current project. We're continuing to work on the high voltage electrical on campus. This is going to be a two-phase project. This phase is with Florida Power and Light. So on the primary side, where Florida Power and Light will be providing transformers and replacing the transformers that we own on campus now. The second phase of the project will be a construction company that we hire to finish out the secondary side. So it is recommended Board of Trustees approve a budget of $600,000 for Phase 2 Part A of the Daytona Campus High Voltage Project.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Right. Motion passes.
If I'm going too fast, somebody slow me down. Yeah, I'm trying to get through this.
You're
good. All right, beginning January 1st, 24, state law requires all elevators must have door lock monitoring system, which keeps elevators locked in place when the doors are not completely closed. In addition, we have additional repairs that need to be made to elevators. We're looking at 36 elevators that need to be brought up to operating standards. There's a three-year plan that was initiated. So we're looking for recommendation to approve Year 2, estimated cost of $998,000, which will be issued to Kone Elevator to bring elevators up to current codes and safety standards. This, too, is funded from Fund 7.
Motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
Okay, next one is planning. So each year, the college develops priorities for capital projects, remodeling, renovation, new construction. Many of these, Marty has shown you earlier. We have to do a survey and outline our priorities. So this year, we are submitting to the state for maintenance and repairs in year one, $5,458,000. Year two, $3,708,000. And year three, $3,708,000. In addition, we have four major priorities, both of which Marty spoke of earlier. The aircraft airframe power plant for Daytona campus is now coming in at a need of $17,251,578. We're asking for the second half of the Emergency Services Training Center in DeLand, which is 3.28869. The third priority is a continuation of welding and advanced welding expansion at the ATC campus. That cost estimate is coming in at $9,509,245. And then the fourth priority is a new project on campus, formerly called Project B, if you were here several years ago. But this is a building on the ISB, and that project estimate is coming in at $60,421,493. You should have a copy of the CIP 2, which is this form, which outlines priority one for maintenance in the first line, and then the construction projects are at the bottom, outlined as to what we are asking for, what appropriations that we've already gotten in the total appropriations prior. We are committing some local funds to the A&P project, and then this goes to the state for their review and approval as well. It's recommended the board approve the capital improvement plan for 25-26 through 27-28 for the submittal of the Division of Florida Colleges on June 30th, 2024.
Alan,
yes.
Can you go back to the CIP list?
Yes.
I don't know if I didn't catch it the first note. One more. Yeah. A&P there, it says Daytona campus. Should that just say Daytona Beach?
It should.
So can we make, when you make a motion, someone to edit
friendly
that to
amendment.
Say friendly amendment, to, and we'll revise that to say Daytona Beach.
So moved with that friendly amendment.
Yes. Good catch. Has to be a specific site, and that is the site name. So, yeah, it's a good catch.
A second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion?
I have one question. Kelly? Why does the number on years two and three go down for maintenance and repairs?
This is really just it's
kind of
just
a
an exercise.
Okay.
We typically don't get these funds.
Okay.
Even though we ask for them every year, the state just doesn't fund repair and maintenance for some reason.
Okay.
It's just not a priority. But we did outline some critical things that we need: elevators, air handlers, generators. Again, because we didn't get our generators this year, so that those are outlined as critical need items. But the state just—it's just not a priority. So, realistically, they will go up next year. You know, a realistic number probably is two or three times that. But it's just looking ahead and being able to see what's out there.
Okay, thank you.
That's a great question. So, just in case we're asked, is the number a formula, or is it? I mean, because
it is
exactly
not
the same in the last two. Is it just kind of a? You think it'll be about this much?
Placeholder, really.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really just a placeholder. We estimate what we're gonna need to replace, and based on market, we're just guessing what the cost is going to be 3 years from now. You know, if it's going to be 3% inflation, a lot of things go into it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
All right. Each year, the college is required to have an annual inspection of building and grounds as required by state requirements of educational facilities, SREF. The fire, safety, casualty, and sanitation inspection reports are required by statute. Every year, the College Risk Management Consortium sends a third-party investigator or inspector to evaluate the college's compliance
to safety standards. The team of three inspectors spends a week on all of our campuses and all of our facilities. They walk and look at every room, every closet, every mechanical space. This year, our findings were we had 20 violations that were reported on the fire side, 4 on the casualty side, and none on the portable side. So of those fire system issues, 80% were related to wet fire systems, where the yellow and red tags were mishandled by our contractor during the inspection. Those have been corrected. We actually had identified these issues back in April, issued work orders and purchase orders to make these corrections, and they dropped the ball. So we've had 3 corrective actions from that. One is we had meetings with them to discuss the issue. We asked for an immediate response, and so far they've corrected 18 of 20 of these. The 2 that are remaining are basically waiting on parts. And then we are testing a new contractor going forward to see if we can get some better response. So this is not an acceptable situation. So the other 4 things were related to carpet and flooring. 2 of them in elevators were vinyl. The vinyl flooring had cracks in it, so we got a write-up for that. And the auto lifts at the ATC needed inspection, and that's scheduled next month. So all of these should be corrected by the end of July. So it's recommended that the Board of Trustees approve the 23-24 SREF inspection report as it was submitted.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Smith.
Great. Thank you.
Good afternoon. We have 4 items under academic affairs. The first is the approval of the 2024-25 lab fees. We have 425 courses at the college that have an associated lab fee to cover materials. This year we have 26 changes, 1 deletion, 4 decreases, 13 increases, and 8 new lab fees associated mostly with our new sonography program. And so I'll be happy to answer any questions about those, but we would ask for your approval.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. The next item is the approval of our general education curriculum. We brought this once before, but we've made a couple other tweaks. We have until September to submit this to the state, but we wanted to go ahead and get it done now. The only changes are that we're adjusting some course descriptions on 4 courses and removing 1 from Gen Ed. It's not a core course. It's an institutional option. So we would ask for your approval.
So moved.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. The next item is approval of a curriculum revision to the massage therapy vocational certificate. We anticipate that the state is going to change the required number of hours for licensure to 650, and the new rules from federal financial aid will not cover a program beyond what's required for licensure, so we want to adjust our program hours to meet that state requirement. So we would go from 750 to 650.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Questions or discussion? I think I heard you use the word you anticipate the state's going to change. So will our changes take place no matter what, or only if the...
Well, they have not issued this yet. But we would like this in place for fall semester.
Regardless.
So we are pretty sure. We have a draft from the board. Then they anticipate passing this number.
And I suppose if something other than this happens, we would come back to you in August with a different recommendation.
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. And lastly, we routinely bring you a list of courses that we are asking to delete from the catalog that have not been taught in 5 years, or a program that is closing, as in the case of one of these opticians. So we would just ask your approval to delete these courses.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Constituent heads.
Okay, very good. All right, for her first appearance in front of the board, we have our new SGA president, Natasha Powell. And we heard you were visiting home last month, so.
I did. I had a wonderful time. First time I've been home in, in 5 years, so, yeah. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who don't know, my name is Natasha Powell, and I am so honored and so excited to have the opportunity to serve as the next SGA president for the following school year here at Daytona State. A little bit about myself, for those of you who don't already know, I was born and raised in Cape Town, South Africa, and I moved to the United States almost 6 years ago to pursue a career as a professional ballet dancer. I had the privilege of living out that dream for 5 years before I retired and relocated to Daytona Beach with my husband last year. I enrolled at Daytona State in the fall of 2023 and am pursuing my studies here with the eventual goal of attending law school. And I've just been greatly impacted by the resources available here and the amazing faculty, and am thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying my time so far. So I'm so grateful to have this opportunity as well. But we have a very exciting tentative schedule for the fall semester here at Daytona State, and I'd love to walk you through a few of the events we have planned. So first of all, we have a series of welcome back events that will be hosted at various campuses starting at the end of August, going through the beginning of September. The welcome back event at the Daytona Beach campus will also involve a club rush, where new and existing students will have the opportunity to learn more about and hopefully get involved in some of our amazing clubs that we have here. In September, we have our Constitution Day, which is led by the Pre-Law Society. This will be a student discussion and will be an opportunity for all students to find out more about our country's great constitution. And then after that, we have the Club Funding Workshop, which will be led by the SGA. And this is an opportunity for the clubs to learn how to fundraise, essentially, for their clubs. So, in October, we have a series of homecoming events led by foundations. We have the homecoming s'mores and movie night, the homecoming ball led by the dance club, the homecoming 5K and festival. And then we also have the SGA-led Hispanic Heritage Day event and the Falcon Fall Fest at the end of October. And something new that we have this year is the National First Responders Day, which will be held at the ATC campus. And we're very excited for students to have the opportunity to learn more about what these first responders do and to celebrate them. In November, we have the SGA-led International Cultural Festival, as well as the Native American Day event. And we're really looking forward to celebrating the wonderful, amazing, diverse cultures that make up our great school. And lastly, in December, we have our annual SGA tree lighting and winter celebration, as well as our ping pong tournament. So this is a tentative schedule. Things are liable to change and maybe a few additions. But right now, this is what we have. And we're so excited for this fall and for the students to have the greatest semester yet. So if there aren't any questions, I'll turn it over. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I may have to enter the ping pong tournament. My brother came down. His nephew, I'm 4-0 so far, beating my brother and my nephew. So I have to enter the student one here. All right. Our next Constituent Head is Daenerys Inman for the Admin Council.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Very excited to give this report today. Instead, the Administrators Council wanted to kind of do a year in review of some of the things that we accomplished this past year. So between the months of September 2023 and June 2024, we held four business meetings, which is in alignment with our bylaws, of course. But outside of those business meetings, we actually offered nine engagement opportunities. And those included, of course, the 5K run, our trunk or treat event hosted by the Falcon Hope Center. We had our holiday card signing events, and we had five opportunities to do that. We participated in the chili cook-off. And then lastly, we also did a AI training in conjunction with our AI Governance Council. So that was nine engagement opportunities outside of those business meetings. We also did over 2,200, we raised over $2,200 this past year as well. That was one of our greatest accomplishments. But I am most proud to read the following two. Individually, our council members did about 16.75 hours of service. And collectively, if you did that based on the average attendance of our meetings, we contributed over 305 hours of service to the college. So I think for this year, that is an accomplishment, and I'm looking forward to contributing more hours, raising more funds, and having more engagement opportunities for the Administrators Council. That's my report.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And John Penny for Career Employees Association.
We've officially changed. We'll have meetings every other month, so we'll go to six now. I am staying the president for a while. We do have a new secretary, though. And we're going to work on realigning our purpose with the new college mission statement. We need to retake a look at that and make sure everything lines up. And we're looking forward to sorting through the changes coming this month. They're not coming this month. They're all of those things are up in the air yet with the state finalizing money and everything else so that we can get all of our career employees on the same board and up to speed with what changes are coming this year for us. Looking forward to having that all sorted out for everybody. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And for Faculty Senate, Paul Capps.
Good afternoon. Faculty Senate is on summer break, so we did not meet. I do want to take the opportunity to thank several folks. First, when Dr. Labasso announced at a cabinet meeting recently that he was going to propose a raise, despite the fact that there was no raise in the operating budget from the state, in my mind I went, okay, that means, you know, 1% for everybody under 60,000 and 0.5% for everybody over 60,000. I think it's truly remarkable the numbers that came back. So I'd like to thank Dr. Lapasso, Marty and his team, which had to actually crunch those numbers and make those numbers work. Dr. DeQuino, whose team is at the heart of that 3-4% right enrollment increase each year. Without that, I'm sure the numbers would look a whole lot different. So, and then finally, and obviously, thanks to the board for approving the raise. If you guys don't say yes, the raise doesn't happen. So thank you all very much. That's our report this month. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And for Professional Counsel, Gina Clark.
Well, to piggyback on that, yes, thank you. We all appreciate that, especially with grocery prices these days. So as I sum up this first year that I've had as serving as the president of the Professional Council, just wanted to kind of do an overview. In August and September, we did a canned food drive for the Falcon Hope Center, and I can't believe how much stuff I had to go and pick up from all the other campuses. Everybody participated, and it was wonderful that everybody wanted to serve. Not only professionals, faculty participated, career employees participated, students participated, administrative council participated. So it was an everybody thing, and it was wonderful. October was probably my most fun time because we had homecoming and all of those events, and we served in those, and we had a table at the homecoming. 5K, we did 5K, helped out with the Kristen Hansen and the 5K run. And then we also did the fun trunk or treat. That was so much fun. I hope we do that again this year with Falcon Hope Center. They invited children from the community to come and have a safe place to trick or treat. And we got to share and spread the great things that happen here at Daytona State College. In November, we did the Basket Brigade. And I never expected. I called it a penny war. It won't be a penny war next time because there was a lot of pennies. But we end up earning $785 and able to put together 20 boxes for the Basket Brigade. And then I know Anaris and I participated in delivering them. I don't know who else did, but that was so much fun, such a joy to reach out to community members that are not Daytona State people, but to be able to smile and offer them something in their time of need and then in the name of Daytona State. So they'll remember that and probably come back and we can help them and be a part of our community. In February, we did the Candygram, which is a new thing for us, and we earned $250 doing that. And then in April, we started a basket raffle that brought in $354, and there was two baskets. And so I thought, this was a pretty good first year. I've never done anything like this, but we had a great time, and we don't know what's going to be happening with the new structure, but our elections, our only change was our treasurer is now Sarah Rush, but we'll see what all happens with that. So, and our bylaws were updated. So that's my report. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the constituent groups.
Great. Thank you. I have one action item I would ask for approval on. At a prior board meeting, we approved terminating the college's existing deferred compensation plan and creating a new 457F deferred compensation plan. We've worked with the college's internal and external counsel to do so, and I would ask for your approval on the final documents.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. June is always a busy meeting. I think that might set the record for approval items. So I'll be brief on my comment, but just want to say at the end of the day, 14 years without increasing tuition, 1 year reducing tuition, the only college in the state of Florida, I think, that actually reduced it during that stretch, is an amazing testament. To be able to do that and still offer salary increases, I think, speaks to the testament of the leadership of the college, the faculty, the staff, the students. As a board, we want to say thanks. Well-deserved. We are where we are because of you. We're happy that we're able to approve something that you guys have made happen with your hard work and dedication. Most importantly, I think, during that entire stretch, we've kept quality and students at the top of our focus. And I think that's the most important message to take away, and that's why the salary increase is so well-deserved. And the one other comment I will mention is I was so excited to see the recent news release. I always like the news releases because they kind of remind me of what's happening, but the one that came out recently on the law enforcement program is it's amazing. 100% placement rate, 100% placed in jobs of the last class. I think, if I remember right, almost a 95% on average, which I think you could put up against any academy in the state of Florida for sure. New facilities coming up, which will make sure we keep our quality the best in the state. That's just one example, though, a most recent example. So on behalf of the board, thanks for all you do to always keep students first and make sure we keep the quality where it is. And with that, I hope everybody enjoys some time with their family and friends this summer, and look forward to getting back together next time. Bob?
Thank you. First of all, the workshop was outstanding, and I'm totally geeking out on the advances with AI. But I think it's so vitally important because you never want to be blockbuster when you see these kinds of advents of massive change. And so I think it's so very important, and I'm very, very pleased to see the commitment from the college to make sure that we're moving in the right direction there. Then, again, on the budget, I second that. I think May is such a great time to be on this board because you get to see the graduation ceremonies and kind of said that's where the rubber meets the road. But holy cow, when you look at June and approving this budget, that's really where we see the success of this college and its mission. And so to Marty and his team, Dr. Labasso, 14 years in a row, again, with tuition, it's a massive achievement and so very important. And congratulations. And that really, June is a time of celebration. This is a big meeting every year, but this is where the rubber meets the road. Go Falcons.
But speaking of Go Falcons, before you start, Randy, I forgot to mention, in front of you is a promotional thing we're mailing out to students, encouraging them to apply. And behind it are stickers. And I thought of Randy, I thought maybe the next 10, 12 cars you sell, you can put one of these on there and next to the Daytona logo. And there we go. So anyway, I wanted to point that out. And
where's counsel? I need to make sure that's legal.
Yeah, that's right. Could be a conflict.
Yeah. I just have one request. I don't want to follow Bob anymore because he takes it all. But you know, I do want to give Bob some kudos because, he over the last couple of years talked about the value of the graduation ceremony, and he sufficiently made me feel bad about not having been here before to do it, and he was right, and that's really hard for me to admit, but it was a tremendous time. I enjoyed it a lot. The smiles and the handshakes and the sense of accomplishment. It's rare that you get to be in a group of people of that number, that volume, and they all had a sense of accomplishment. That's pretty powerful. You know, that's an overwhelming experience. And thank you, sir, for putting me in my place. And I'm glad to do it, and I won't miss it. So thanks very much. The other thing I would tell you that, as you all know, I'm engaged in another effort as well. And as you go around the community and you talk about things and different organizations and see things, Daytona State is not really just a model of college education. It's really a model of how to run an operation and an organization. You know, you listen to people and you see. So we don't increase tuition. We only increase fees at the rate of which the actual cost. We have a capital project, an aggressive capital project plan, and we've increased wages and still have – that occurred, by the way, last year, and we have a rollover in this coming year and likely will again. And so when they say it can't be done, they just have to look to Daytona State and realize that it can. So well done.
Kelly?
Sure, I want to echo everyone so far. How do you think it feels going after you, too?
Gotta be at the end.
I know, I'm sorry. Really, I feel really sorry for you. I'm going to start with the board workshop. I also was geeking out more in my head than in my voice, but what a neat thing that we got to learn about today. And also, I'm just so impressed with the position the college has taken about embracing it. there's a lot of fear that surrounds it, and you guys are just saying, you know, we're not going to listen to that. We're gonna do this right with integrity. And so I just compliments. I see Cheryl is still here, and I don't know. Compliments to Cheryl and Rich and Dave and Candace for leading that effort. I will tell you a little story. I was at dinner last night with some friends and my husband, and they were complimenting him on his very funny 4th of July barbecue invitation email. And he was bragging that he did it with AI. And and they were like, wow, AI, this is amazing. He's like, it's all about the prompt. And I thought today, I rolled my eyes, and I thought today, oh dear, he was right. It is all about the prompt. So I'm going to have to, you know, go home and.
Are you going to go home and tell him?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I learned something new. He was actually right. Oh, yeah, I'm going to try it. Doesn't happen a lot, Randy.
So if you don't, I'm going to call him and say,
okay. Yeah, yeah. Marty, man, congratulations on getting that through. I know that it seemed quick today, but Marty spends a lot of time with us before today, so everyone knows that we spent a lot of time studying that as well. And so
was
I
that AI or Marty?
Yeah, was it Marty? I don't know anymore. But thank you for your time with all of us and for working so diligently and all the people that you thanked. I get that this was a team effort. It came across very clearly, so thank you for that. And lastly, the constituent heads, you know, you guys get up every time and you do such a nice job and your engagement is so, it's just joyful. So thank you for doing that. The annual reports and looking forward is, it just kind of really puts to me the icing on the cake. It makes everything make sense to me that the engagement's in every single part of this college. So thank you for that. That's all I have.
Gary.
All right.
Gary, yeah.
First off, to go and do tuition flat, as was pointed out, 14 years in a row, and then the salary increases that we have still been able to put into place over these last few years, and you think about the inflationary pressures that everybody goes through, but it, and I actually thought we were. This group is so professional. They, when we approved it, they didn't get up and give us a standing ovation or anything like that. They remain professional about it. But you think about these inflationary pressures over the last, really started in 21 when it was called transitory by our Federal Reserve and continued on into 22 and 23. But you think about those pressures. And so for us to at least be able to try to help offset some of those kinds of things here is such a great thing for us. And then at the same time, keep tuition flat. So, but also, too, I want to say with our board here, it's always a proud moment for me to be on this board when I look at the people that I'm surrounded by here. And I know Lloyd couldn't be here today, but Lloyd included, this is a tremendous board. And here recently, one of our board members was recognized by the Boy Scouts of America, Randy Dye, publicly. And I'd like to give him a round of applause for his for his contribution to the community. Well deserved. And Marty and the team, again, what you all do each and every year from the standpoint of the quality of our financial statements to going through this budget process, figuring out how to make it all work. You got all these different things coming at you from the state that are outside your control oftentimes, and still you find a way to make it work. And to the entire team that helps you, as you gave the credit to, you know, there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle, if you will, and putting all that together. So great job by you and the team. So thank you, and I hope I gave you a few new comments in the middle.
Go Falcons.
Falcons.
Well, again, thanks, everyone. With that, we'll adjourn the board meeting and hope everybody has a great summer.
Thank you.